Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
How many of you remember when you were the age of the kids who were up here? I don't. If you do, you just have a better memory than you. Amanda does. You're a little bit closer than some of us. So I have a question, and I would invite your vocal response to this question. What is something that you remember learning about Christmas when you were around this age that maybe you've come to some different wisdom today? I'm trying to sort of connect our past and our present. So what's something that maybe you were taught about Christmas or that you learned about Christmas that maybe you've come to a different idea today, however you might have come to that? What's an idea of Christmas that you were taught and now is different? Santa Claus. For some people, Santa Claus may or may not be different today, but I understand where you're going with it. Others. Vicky. All right. Having grown up where in South Dakota, where you really do get white Christmases, but in all the manger scenes you saw, there was never snow around the manger. That was mysterious to you. Okay, good, good. Anything else? Yes. Gifts for me. The idea of Christmas was that I get stuff, and then I assume the wisdom you've come to is that it's more about giving than receiving. Good, 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 good. Yes. Well, your house burned down at Christmas, and the church came together to help you. That's beautiful. I'm sort of overwhelmed by hearing that. Well, that's amazing. Lewis, the wise men weren't there right at the birth. Good. Here's a trivia question: how many wise men were there? We don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. We assume it's three because there were three gifts, but it could have been two wise men and three gifts. It could have been 18 wise men and three gifts. We just don't know. A little bit of trivia. You didn't know that coming in, some of you, I understand. But sure. Now, last Advent season, when we were preparing for Christmas, we did some interesting and in-depth exploration, and I hope that you learned some new things about Advent, about that sort of geographic journey that Mary and Joseph took. And, we stuck mostly to the Gospel of Luke because the Gospel of Luke is the one that gives us most of the infancy narrative, but it's not all there. Sometimes you have to jump over to Matthew if you want to get part of it. So it's really interesting. Now, part of what Lewis was saying is that not only we don't really know how many wise men there were, but they came much, much later. Jesus was almost certainly not in the manger by the time that the wise men showed up. The other thing that sometimes people don't realize is that most academics, most scholars are pretty sure that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. It was probably sometime in the spring. Does that mean that this isn't a time we should celebrate? I think it's a pretty good time to celebrate. But important things for us to sort of recognize that have changed for us from our childhood times to the present. Now, we've been pursuing or following along this sermon series that parallels our journey in Advent with Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. And a guide we're using is this book by a guy named Matt Rawl, a United Methodist clergy person. The book is called The Redemption of Scrooge. This is sort of what we're using as a source in addition to our Bibles and in addition to the classic story, A Christmas Carol. And I'd like to start with the parallel of A Christmas Carol with a video clip of Scrooge. And what you'll see in this video clip from Scrooge is the ghost of Christmas past has taken him to his past, to a particularly happy time in his past. But then you see a little bit of transition as something that was a happy time turns into a bit of a broken time, a bit of a time of grief. And I wonder, as we explore, not only watching this clip, but explore this a little further, if we've had some similar experiences of both happy times in our past, but also challenging times. Let's see the clip. If you think about your own past, whatever it is that you might remember from your past, and maybe your memory of your past is better than mine, whatever it is that you remember from your past, consider what kind of a journey there's been from those memories to today. Happy journey, challenging journey, little bits of both. I confess to you that when I have been in touch with some of the folks who knew me in my childhood and certainly my adolescence, whenever I've had the opportunity to go to any of those high school reunions that seem to come up a little too often these days, whenever I've had opportunity to connect with those folks or go back to those reunions, like there's a part of me that wonders if folks are going to laugh when I tell people what I do for a living. Wait, you're a pastor? That's what I'm expecting, because I know what kind of kid I was. I know what kind of teenager I was. And I sort of suspect that when some of those people who knew me in those times understand what my vocation is today, they're going to say, seriously, you? That hasn't happened yet, at least to my face, but, you know, who knows? But I wonder if you think about your own past, your childhood, your upbringing, your adolescence, your journey through your 20s and 30s and however far you've made it so far, you know, how has that journey been for you? And when you look at some of that journey, do you see brokenness? Do you see cracks? Do you see places where maybe you haven't been the kind of person that you maybe feel like God has asked you to be, God has called you to be? Because I know when I look back at my past, I see those things. I see those broken bits and those times when I've turned away from God. Now, as persons of faith, especially as United Methodists, we generally affirm that all persons are called by God. And, you know, a few are called to ordained ministry, and all of us are called to some sort of service to our faith community, to our neighbors, if nothing else, to love our neighbors as ourselves. I believe that that's a call from God, and we all experience that. Now, if you're anything like me, you may not want to acknowledge that call. When I think about my call, especially to ordained ministry, it's sort of a mix of Jonah and Moses, right? Because like Moses, I made a bunch of excuses, and like Jonah, I tried to run the other way. But I found that God's call is persistent, and that God's call comes with grace, with strength, with teaching, so that we can follow that call. Like, I don't think God's call is isolated in, here, I want you to do this, good luck. God's call comes with, here's what I want you to do, and here's how I'm going to help you do it. But sometimes we sort of have our own hang-ups, like me, like Moses, like Jonah, where we feel like maybe I'm not good enough for that, maybe I'm too broken for that. But just like Scrooge has the opportunity to be redeemed, so do we all. And here's, I want to sort of say what I mean by redemption. Because that word redemption can be wrapped up in sort of a sense of negativity sometimes. I liken it a little bit to that question that I've been asked before. Have you been saved? Well, I feel like God's still working on me. I feel like I still need it. I don't feel like it's a snap of the fingers kind of thing that just happens once. I feel like it's a journey. And so this idea of being saved, this idea of being redeemed, I think is an ongoing process where God's love fills in the cracks of my brokenness. All the places where I feel like I'm not good enough, I think God fills in those places. In the Wesleyan tradition, we talk about how God perfects us in love. God makes us perfect not because we already are, because we mess it up, but because God fills in the places where we're broken. I believe that God continues to call us, and I'd like to call your attention to a scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, where God, particularly Jesus, Jesus as an expression of God in the Gospels, Jesus calls some of his disciples. So I'm going to invite Scott to come up and read for us out of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This is Jesus calling some fishermen, and I want you to pay attention to how they respond and ask yourself, you know, do I respond the same way when I know God's call?
As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
How did they respond? Did they respond like Moses or Jonah? Nope, I'm going to drop everything. Now, think for a second about the context of that. Like, on what part of the socioeconomic ladder were fishermen? They weren't like the princes of the region by any stretch. Right? They were a little bit more on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. And they left their very livelihood. Think of Simon, Peter, and Andrew. They left their livelihood of fishing to follow this divine Christ. And then think of the sons of Zebedee. Sometimes they're called the sons of thunder. Think about what they did. Who did they leave still sitting in the boat? Their dad. They left everything. And yet Christ called them. Christ empowered them. And we still talk about their mission and their ministry today. And I submit, as each of us are called, that we might be empowered and strengthened as well. But what about when we feel broken, when we feel unworthy? I wonder whether Simon Peter or Andrew or the sons of Zebedee, if they felt good enough, or if they had faith that the unconditional love that was available to them would fill in their broken places and give them the strength to follow that call. I wouldn't necessarily say drop everything and go, but then again, I'm not the one calling. Now, as we've paralleled a Christmas carol, part of what the reason that we've explored this is because I believe that God speaks to us in more rooms than just this one. I believe whether we're in the car listening to the radio, or we're watching our favorite TV program, or we're talking to somebody who doesn't necessarily go to church on Sundays, right, I think that God still speaks in more ways than we sometimes give credit for. And I want to give you a short illustration of God's unconditional love for us. And it comes from a songwriter who, her name is Katie Hudson. Now, some of you know who that is. Some of you are grinning already. Katie Hudson started out as a Christian artist and then moved to L.A. and began doing different music, more secular music. And today we know her by the name Katy Perry. And she wrote a song on her 2013 album called Prism called Unconditionally. And here's how the lyrics go. She, in an interview, said, "This is not only a song, this is not a song that's romantic love. This is a song that transcends all the ways that we can sort of think about love and be more." I think about this. I think this is a deeply spiritual song, especially someone who came from a perspective of faith. And here these lyrics, Unconditionally by Katy Perry. "Oh no, did I get too close? Did I almost see what's really on the inside? All your insecurities, all the dirty laundry never made me blink one time. Unconditionally. Unconditionally. I will love you unconditionally. There is no fear now. Let go and just be free. I will love you unconditionally. Come just as you are. I don't need apologies. Know that you are all worthy. I'll take your bad days with your good. Walk through this storm I would. I do it all because I love you. I love you unconditionally. Unconditionally. I will love you unconditionally. There is no fear now. Let go and just be free. I will love you unconditionally." I believe that whatever our past has been to us, whether they're happy memories or challenging memories, or likely a mixture of all of that, that God continues to call us. God continues to fill in with God's love all those places where we feel broken. God continues to strengthen and empower us so that we might be Emmanuel, the presence of God. If this is not what the Advent season is for, I'm not sure what it is. We are called to prepare ourselves for God with us and to live into it as holy and gracious Creator. We are glad to be connected today, to be drawn together in the spirit of faith and community, that we might be reminded of the great love that connects us, the great love that fills in our broken places, draws us together so that we might be transformative persons in our communities and in our neighborhoods. At this period in our worship service, we include a version of the Lord's Prayer that's sung that we're not licensed to provide online. And so I invite you to join me in the spoken Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.